This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
As you may or may not know, Ovation is 10 years old, and every year I like to try something new in terms of marketing. See what we can get, see what sticks. So almost 2 years ago now, I decided that I'm going to give one of those, like, we'll do the email marketing for you campaign with campaigns with an outside company. They send the emails, they book the appointments, and ideally you rake in the sales. I'm like, all right, we had a couple meetings with this one firm. They proposed a few messages to send out, and then if someone emailed back, they communicate back and forth. And as I said, get the meeting. And I thought they had our voice pretty well in the initial messaging. So we got it started. And then after a couple of weeks into the campaign, we were getting a couple responses. And then when they responded as me, it was always this one account woman. It was a young woman. And every single email that she was sending out in the early weeks, she was getting the details wrong. For instance, she would say, oh yeah, we have an office building in Dallas, which we don't, we're actually a completely virtual company headquartered outside of Boston. And, she would say, yes, we only do virtual speaker prep. And which is not true. Even before COVID, we did both in person and virtual. And the worst thing she consistently did was she was signing the emails from me as Kelly, not Carrie. And my brain exploded, and it was too much for me to take. So very quickly we ended the contract. I was like, this is not really working out. We're going to part as friends. Thanks so much. Good try. And I was so down and so frustrated that, you know, we had lost that time and lost that money. However, miraculously, out of that campaign, we got one client. Guess who it is? It is my guest. She has never heard this story. She is excited. I hope we stay a client now after this story, which is my very first woman guest on Speaking of Events. And so thank you for being with me. Woman power is none other than the effervescent, fun, and fabulous Allison Crooker of VMware. She is the head of event content strategy and production. Hello, Allison.
Oh, hello, Kelly. Oh, I mean Kelly.
And that's the end of our show, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Wow. That is amazing.
That's hysterical. Wow. Yep.
Yes.
And it's kind of on par with kind of my life and career. So yeah, that's great. That's a great story.
Okay, good. So are we're still good though? We're like that we're in.
Yeah,
so, okay.
Yeah. You're coming back. You repeat.
Okay, coming back. That's right. All right, we're gonna start this episode with the question I always ask all my guests, your guest number three, which is, what is the one thing, Allison Crooker of VMware, head of event content strategy and production, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
That event content is queen.
Yes.
Yes. That event content is more than just like, oh yeah, we'll get some speakers, or we'll get our PMMs to put it together. We don't need, as an event team, to actually have anybody on staff to do that. We just get some people to do it. No, event staffs, all you event managers out there listening to this fabulous podcast with this fabulous woman and this fabulous organization, by the way, should know that event content as part of your team is very important.
Yes. I agree. Now, when you say fabulous woman, in fact, were you talking about Ovation or talking about you and VMware? I think because either is applicable in that category.
I was talking about you and Ovation, Carrie Woot. And Ovation.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So what's the biggest misconception then I don't know if it refers to your title or to events in general, but kind of the common misconception in events in your world?
So the way with my lens, I've been in event content for many years, right? In a lot of different ways. But so from my lens, it's always been about the content. So take that, you know, those who are listening, put that into consideration here. But content is really a form of distribution, right? Of like, if content is important for campaigns, e-papers, white papers, you know, different brochures, it is as important as a distribution channel for your live and or virtual events. Like, your content marketing strategy should include your event content. It should be a continuum. And when I'm now at VMware, it's such a large company, it's even more important. Like, it shouldn't be where you're doing your campaigns, you have your tiers, you have all your, you know, MQLs and SQLs and everything's going on over there. And then you do the event. And it's like, your attendees are like, huh? Sometimes bad things can happen. You know, you can say things at an event that don't fit or jibe with what you just said in an email campaign you just sent. Like, so I really am strongly a proponent of having event content be part of the content marketing strategy overall for the company.
As well, it should. So normally when somebody makes a big noise, like, I would ask them to then explain what they were physically doing. But I think that noise was so expressive. It needs no physical explanation of what you were doing. If you want an added bonus, then come watch it on YouTube. But I think.
Yeah, yes. People who are listening to this are like, what?
They got it. It was crystal clear. Okay. I was fabulous. Okay. Okay, we've got it. Event, yes, content. Yay. Finally, it's coming into the spotlight. And so we've got our event or our content strategy. We've got our event. We've got the content strategy. We're going to get some speakers, which is where we come in, right? That's our gig. Help. Yeah. Well, you get the speakers and then we come in and make them shiny. That's our job. So what could speakers do to make your life easier?
Practice.
Yes. Practice. I've never heard of that concept before.
I know,
Allison,
right?
Tell me more.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've done a lot of speaker training. And as I think I mentioned earlier, that you are, for VMware, well, during my tenure, the only company we've brought back for the second time.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I don't think people heard that.
That's how fabulous Ovation is. And the other people that we've worked with are great too. But Ovation was able to really work with us in all the, we at VMware and me in general, I like to think of content session types as being able to kind of follow that customer journey. So we have a lot of them. You know, yeah. We have a lot of different ways to distribute the event content. And that means the speakers have to be able to, you know, both create slides that for a 60-minute session that aren't full of technical jargon, mm-hmm. And that they look at them the entire time. To the speakers that need to be more interactive during our roundtables and be able to engage in a small group, which is a very different skill than being on a stage and talking about, you know, a lot of technical content. Yep. So practice for all types, I think, is really, really important. And can I give one other quick personal explanation
Please.
Of why practice
yes.
is important?
Yes.
Right. So I was speaking at an event and it was a virtual event. So it was pre-recorded. They gave us our parameters. I've got all pretty and I've got my YouTube, my light on, and I got everything done. And I decided I had written some notes And I was like, okay, let's just hit record and go. I didn't set a timer. I didn't practice except for writing out some notes. And it was great. I talked straight for like 5 minutes more than I was supposed to. If I had practiced, and of course this was like the night before it was due.
Oh, always.
So, you know, I didn't edit it. I couldn't edit it. There was nothing for me to edit out. I would have had to redo the whole thing. And I'm like, that's not happening. So if I had practiced earlier, I would have seen that I had gone over. I could have edited, done my notes. I am my worst, right, coaching client, right? I am my worst speaker. So practice, practice, practice.
Well, as you know, I agree. That's what we help lots of speakers with. And I was recently asked to produce a little video on something. And they said, oh, and by the way, so you need to do this video. By the way, just make sure that you rehearse it a couple of times before you record it. And I was like, completely dead faced. Like, are you seriously? Do you know what I do? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. She's just said it's in. I think that's the go-to that people who are dealing with speakers, that is the go-to reminder that you send out is rehearse. And I think a lot of people don't know how to rehearse well, or they get overwhelmed, or they leave it to the last minute. And there are great things you can do at the last minute. That's a story for a different day, but I'm 100% with you on this. Absolutely.
Yes. And there are great tools Ovation brought to the table. You know, different ways to rehearse. There's a lot of help out there. And so don't think that this is overwhelming. That's another thing for speakers. Like you said, they get overwhelmed. And I did too.
Yeah. Right?
Leave it to the last minute, get overwhelmed. Now you can't do it, blah, blah, blah.
Especially with all the new stuff. I mean, when we were throwing them into these Zoom boxes, right? All of a sudden that was new. Now we're throwing them, some of them, back on in-person stages. That's scary. What other innovations in terms of content delivery are you seeing? Are you liking? Are you?
What's coming into your vision? I'm liking a lot of the content as engagement. I manage a group of event content professionals. It's called the Event Content Council. And it's a loose group of event content professionals who get around the table, virtual table, every month and talk things about event content. And the tribe we've all agreed that content is a great way, especially for audiences that aren't necessarily the most outwardly going in general. You know, they're kind of introverts. Content's a great way to help them meet each other. And I think I read a quote from David Spinks, who is an author. I'm going to forget the name, but he's a community expert, right? Started off this big event called CMX, which is for community managers, and kind of really helped community become something important. Anyway, David Spinks was saying that content should you should create content that not only resonates with your audience, but helps your audience connect with each other. And I was like, yes, that's a nice way to say it. And I've seen some really cool ways some of my peers are doing that, using content to help attendees engage with each other. So that's kind of cool.
That is really cool. So my next question was, tell me about the Event Council, Content Council, which you just did. How big is it? Would you tell me more? How big is it? Women,
I started it about 2 years ago, probably two and change now. Right before COVID hit, we had our first in-person event and VMware hosted it. I have a fabulous leader in my VP, Linda Britt, who, when I brought the idea to her, was like, yes. And here's a little bit of extra money that we have to help you. So we were able to kick it off. I hired a group, another fabulous group called Impact Point Group, that everybody should know about. Erica Spohr and her team came in and helped facilitate that first meeting. And I think that first meeting we had around the table, I would say 15 different event organizations represented of event content professionals. We, because I'm tech, most of my peers are tech right now, but we have Google and Facebook and Salesforce and Splunk and Twilio and, you know, the list goes Oracle and Cisco, you know, the list goes on.
Right.
So we have a great organization. We do have predominantly women because events seem to be, although I've seen a shift, which is good. We have a couple of men there as well. So we do have that male energy there. Yay, representing. And generally we meet every month virtually and just get a chance. What they've said to me is that when we did the pivot, the big pivot for 2020, we started meeting every month because we were all like, what are we doing? Oh,
I bet.
I don't know what to do. We've continued because there's always something really good to talk about and really important. And we get to share ideas. There's a safety net there, right? We're not going to steal each other's ideas, or we're not going to, tell people what everybody's doing. There is some safety in our community as well, but we are also looking to expand this year and hopefully put a little bit more infrastructure in place, impact mm-hmm. working with me now, so that we can hopefully become more of even a career developer, helping to bring event content like really to the forefront, like I started off with, that it is an important integral part of event management, getting it into the course curriculum in colleges. We have grand ideas.
Oh, I love it. Congratulations.
Yeah, we'll see.
How does content play into the uptick in diversity within events and these very separate ideas, diversity, and then also accessibility? That to me was also really exciting to see over the past couple of years, that all of a sudden content was accessible to everyone everywhere.
Absolutely. As an African-American woman, right, diversity and inclusion is definitely something that is near and dear to my heart. And one of the things that we were challenged with, I think, is being open and honest with the fact that we weren't, right? From when I started at VMware 5 years ago, it was definitely not a diverse speaker faculty. Was not. And the usual, well, there's nobody out there. Like, you know, the usual complaint came back. I can't find anybody, so therefore I don't have anybody. And I think one of the things about speaker training is that, well, develop people. Yeah. Like, it's not like they just automatically spring up, you know, like the daffodils. You have to nurture, them. And so we have actually started a program at VMware. It's at its very beginning, where we are pulling a diverse pool of talent that needs some polishing, needs some, you know, additional speaker training, needs some additional confidence building, so that we do have a cadre of people to go to, a diverse cadre of people to go to when we are looking for sending out speakers as well as for our internal, you know, events. And then from an accessibility standpoint, you know, in person, there was always a challenge. And now that challenge is even greater because people don't want to travel. I shouldn't say that. People do want to travel, but then there are issues that happen. Like one of my colleagues just, you know, came down with COVID again. So it's not over. It's not hard. It's bad cold, but it's still, right. It's still there.
It's there.
People are hesitant, you know, if you are challenged visually, you know, being on virtually on can work for you. There are tools, you know, technology has come such a long way that those that are challenged in certain different ways or abled differently have more access to being able to present. And we don't want to lose that. So like, for instance, this year we are doing both in person, as well as a large catalog of pre-recorded content and a digital destination. And one of the mandates that I have for my OKRs is to have a diverse speaker faculty. And that means we got to be honest with each other. And when the speakers come back from the curation, you know, I get to be the one going like,
right.
So
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for event professionals to push these initiatives, to be the front runners in terms of diversity, inclusivity, and accessibility. And I think it's so cool. And it's one of the top reasons I love to be in this space. We want to develop the speakers. And I love that thought of, well, if you don't have them, develop them. That's no brainer. Absolutely. Thank you for that. What do you think? Past 2 years have been interesting. We're almost here in the States, kind of exactly at that 2-year mark. A lot of people feel, you know, US people that I talk to, Americans, I should say, who are living in US at the time, that March 13th, 2020 was kind of the marker date. So thinking back to March 13th, 2020, what has the past 2 years taught you? What has this unique experience of the past 2 years taught you professionally, personally, any eventually, yeah. whatever with
you? Yeah. Oh, so much. Personally, it's taught me that personally, it's taught me I can work anywhere, literally, like anywhere. as long as I have my computer and most of the time I have my headsets on. I'm working right now, if people can see on who watch the YouTube, I'm working in a 10 by 40 container.
It's a very nice container, but she is in a container with a corrugated, is that what we call it, right? Corrugated ceiling.
Yes, a corrugated ceiling. And the windows behind me, when you look at the YouTube, are the cargo door that they cut out windows of. So like I can be here, I can be on a beach, I can be in an office. You know, personally, I didn't have to be confined. And I think that kind of, and I can be with other people and still make it work. My husband and my dog, who aren't here now because I kicked them out. But
could you move the container to the beach? Could you move the container to the beach?
I could. It would take a lot, but I could.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, there is, so personally, that flexibility I realized was in myself. And that leads to obviously professionally. VMware is one of the companies that early on was like, hey, you don't have to come back if you don't want to. Like, we're never going to make you force you to be in an office again. And that was really nice to know very early on. So I've been able to, you know, in those 2 years, I've moved from California to North Carolina, hence the temporary container here.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
Yes, be clear. You're there just temporarily. It's not against your will. You have air and food and we're good. Okay. Just want to make that clear to everybody.
Yes, I don't have chains on or anything. My feet are free. So that taught me. And then the other thing I think professionally, we all know as event professionals, right? We are resilient. Like, we are so resilient. We learned that we could, although the first year I cried. I haven't cried because of work for decades, but in 2020, it was so stressful that I went to my boss, I'm like, I don't know if we can do this anymore, because we didn't know what we were doing, and we had to do it, you know, like, there was no, like, well, we don't know what to do, so let's just not do anything. No, it was like, we don't know what to do, and we just have to figure this out as we're doing it, and it was very stressful, but we're very resilient, and we did it. And then 2021 felt like more like, let's try to build on that. So that was nice. And now 2022 is more like, well, which model are we going to go with? And how do we keep the good of the digital with the in-person? And so it was it was nothing was like 2020 though. Nothing will ever probably be like that.
I mean, I hope not.
I hope not. That's a good way to put it. You never know.
That is true. I had my crying moments in the corner, so I completely understand. I love this concept of digital destination.
Yeah.
Is that, I have not heard that yet. Is that something common that I'm going to start to hear? Is this out of your brilliant brain? Where did that come from?
I think it's a team effort here. Our event tech team is fabulous on the event, corporate events team. The event tech group is wonderful here at VMware. And working with them, you know, we really kind of thought through how interactive do we need the digital experience to be? And, you know, when you really broke it down, it probably wasn't that much. Like, I think we got to the point where we were, should we have Slack or should we not? Like, we had kind of crossed off all the Zooms and all the other things that we had done. And we were like, do we need Slack? And then we were like, we really don't get that much question. We really don't. So we went to, instead of an experience, a destination. So this is part of like the ongoing up leveling of what we called our video library, which I unfortunately called it the graveyard. It's like the digital graveyard. And we don't want it to be. We have great speakers. We have great content. We have really relevant content. And we have about 500 visits every month, you know. Not bad, but could be a lot better. So we really are looking to make a digital destination that is year-round, that is marketed more, that has unique content probably throughout the year also added. So we are up-leveling our digital destination, and the difference between destination and experience is the interactivity.
Love it. Excellent. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I want to change gears a little bit. Just a little side turn. And I want to know, how did we get from Brooklyn to a container in North Carolina? Just how did we end up here? And this can definitely be more professional if you would. Just, we talked about the other day, you're a Brooklyn girl, and now here we are. In a big, big deal at VMware. So how did that happen?
Yeah. So just quickly, and I say this so that everybody who's listening, who's starting off in their career knows that, you know, you don't have to have a straight line. Born and raised in Brooklyn, went to college, went to Harvard undergrad, went to Harvard Business School. Between Harvard undergrad and Harvard Business School, I wanted to go into advertising. That's what I decided I wanted to do when I got out of college. Well, I didn't get a job in advertising. And I got a job as a secretary at an ad agency because I was told you can work your way up. But the business school had already said, come back in 2 years, go get some work experience and come back. You're accepted, come back. They were like, you know, you're not going to be a secretary for 2 years. Like, no, that's not going to happen. So I was like, all right, now what do I do? I ended up on Wall Street at Goldman Sachs on the equity trading floor. Wow. I was a sociology major. I was like, what am I doing in this joint? I hated it. I cried every day. I hated it. But I, you know, I did it. And unfortunately, or fortunately, once you have equity trading Goldman Sachs on your resume, everybody looks at you and like, oh, you're a finance person. I was like, no, not a finance person. But I ended up being a finance person. So I went as far away from equity trading as possible. I went to public finance, which, you know, in the financial world, public finance is like, you know, the dog that's tied to the pole in the back. Like, oh yeah, we have that too.
Right.
So I did public finance for many years, and I saw in doing that, that my bosses were who I would want to aspire to be, right? If you're in something, you want to be the best. I was like, well, I'll never be that. Like, they would think of different bond structures and how to amortize things differently and what assets to use. I was like, oh no, that's not me. Like, I'll never be that. So I can't stay here. And luckily, I was reading the trade publication for public finance one day, and there was an ad, and it said, do you have public finance background? Are you interested in marketing? Come be a conference producer for this publication. And the way they wrote it, I was like, that's me. That's me. And I went for the job and I got it. And my career in conference production took off. And there you go. And that was many years ago.
That's amazing. Ooh, yeah. What a journey.
It was from, you know, like I said, you don't have to be stuck. You really don't. Just know who you are, learn who you are, and understand that it's okay to be that. Like, my daddy was a great dad, and he always told me, you know, you don't know what you want until you try and you learn what you don't want. Like, you're not just going to come up with what you want. You got to get out there and give it a shot. And if you don't like it, change. Move
yes. on. No, learn who you are, know who you are, and do that.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you. Wow. All right. Allison Crooker.
Yes.
Are you ready for the speaking of events lightning express round? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. It's 45 seconds on the clock. 8 questions. Okay, are you ready to go? Go. What is your favorite moment in the event process?
Ooh, the creation of the development of the strategy.
Yes. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
I wake up in the morning, I spend time with God in prayer and reading scriptures, and then I exercise.
Nice. What is the name of the Harvard fight song?
I have no idea.
Oh, you really don't? No, it is called, okay. It's so my dad went to Harvard too. And he used to sing me the song that always offended me. So I wonder if you even knew this, because it's literally called 10,000 Men of Harvard.
Oh, yeah, probably blanked that out.
I mean, I would have, so just FYI. Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take up a little bit of this. I'm going to take up a little bit.
The only There's not really a timer. It's okay.
The only thing I know about Harvard fight songs and cheers is H-A-R, H-A-R, H-A-R with a B. B-A-R, B-A-R, B-A-R with a B. Harvard, Harvard. That's all I know.
That's it. Be something a little more clever getting. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for that. Okay, that made my mascara run because I was laughing so hard. Okay. Who do you consider your mentor?
Ooh. Todd Middlebrook.
Yes. All right. Great. Go, Todd.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes, go, Todd.
Okay. Allison, Mets, Yankees, or Red Sox?
Yankees.
Ooh, yeah, that's what I think.
I don't really like baseball, but Yankees.
Okay, fair, fair. And who knows if baseball's coming back. So you're right. Okay, if you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
On my computer, reading a PowerPoint presentation that was sent to me.
Okay. Allison, Yorkshire pudding or hasty pudding?
Oh, hasty pudding.
Okay, that's what I
Yeah.
And final question on this lightning round that's probably 3 minutes now. Favorite thing to do when the event is over?
Go to my room and take a bath in quiet.
Talking. She's mouthing quiet. She's mouthing quiet. That one, I actually have to say what you're doing. Well, thank you. That is the Lightning Express round. You have lived through it. That was really fun. Thank you.
10,000 men of Harvard.
Yeah, it's really, and he used to like march around the house and say, and I'm like, I'm never going to Harvard.
No, I was going to say, hence you were like, I will never go to that school.
No, and anytime I wanted to make him mad, I'd just be like, I'm going to Yale. No, just because I knew that was annoying. So where, Allison, where can people find you if they would like to find you and connect with you?
Oh, and I love being found on LinkedIn.
Me too.
I love LinkedIn. So that is the best place.
Yes. Allison Crooker. We'll have your name. And you have a lovely little flower on your LinkedIn profile too.
I do. Yes. You'll know me from that.
I love it. And any final thoughts? Anything, if you want to leave one final thought about events, about content, about anything that you'd like to leave us with before we say bye-bye.
It is a fabulous role and area to be in. It really is. Like, I'm all about events. It's fun, it's stressful, but you get to know the whole company. You know, it's a wonderful career to be in.
Yes. And that joy emanates from you in all aspects. So thank you very much. Thank you so much for being my very first woman guest on Speaking of Events.
I am honored and I'm very thankful to you, Carrie.
You are so welcome. Oh, you're welcome. And I'm looking forward to us working together again this year. Yeah. And thank you to our listeners who have listened to, I hope you feel as good as I do at the end of this episode. I'm all jazzed for my day. And remember, if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast. And as always, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Bye.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get Ovation.